It's Saturday, and welcome to Tokyo Shorts, new show that brings you all the hits. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And Jason, this is all your story. I don't even know where we're going with this sucker.
Well, I mean, hits. CEO of Hasbro has taken a pretty big one. A group of Hasbro shareholders last week filed a 76-page lawsuit against Chris Cox concerning the company's most important line of products, that being Magic the Gathering.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. According to the lawsuit, the shareholders are basically suing him for overprinting Magic cards in the last couple of runs, saying he's been having them printed as part of a parachute strategy to cover revenue shortfalls elsewhere in the company's various different product lines, thereby diminishing the value of existing sets and harming its most profitable brand.
Pause for a second.
Many of you,
pause for a second. So they don't benefit from the price hike from people reselling stuff. How does that work?
No, but where they do profit is demand and markup. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening a lot of times is you'll have, for example, let's take a special run set.
So tell me
10
if I have,
years ago,
tell
for
me if
example.
I, well, no, stop for a second. So tell me if I have this right. Essentially what happened is because they're overselling them, people don't want to buy them now because they're worthless.
Correct. Oh. Well, it's not that they completely don't want to buy them, but there is less demand to go in and clean out a store, for example, what's been happening with Pokemons ever since COVID.
Pokemon.
Pokemon. Pokemon cards have been routinely sold out almost every damn fucking printing since 2020.
So
when interest in the game spiked around COVID, and you know, because of YouTuber unboxings and stuff,
right?
They routinely sell out printings.
Gotcha.
And the basic allegation is that, by overprinting cards for Magic the Gathering, you're hurting your own brand and the value of your own brand by ensuring that printings are always available. Yeah. Where traditionally Magic the Gathering, like Pokemon, has been printed in a
limited run.
A targeted segment run. So there are certain regions where they print more cards than others, but largely it's targeted to specifically satisfy demand or come just short of it.
Right.
To keep interest in purchasing the product high.
Artificial scarcity.
Right.
Correct.
I mean,
it's much more a driver of sales for collectibles, such as trading card games, than it is for, you know, like PC hardware, for example. We all say that's not really a thing, even though, scalpers have made it a thing.
Yeah.
So collectability for these, I used to play Magic the Gathering. There's a reason why I got out of it. It was a very expensive hobby.
Yeah, it is.
But I'll tell you, one of the very earliest examples of artificial scarcity was the Black Lotus. Relatively common version of a rare card. But a lot of the Black Lotuses were actually destroyed from the original run to make the, that particular card a very rare card. It was artificial scarcity that drove the price of that card way up. Well, that also meant that people who wanted to get those cards would buy entire boxes of set, of cards, boxes of boosters, so that they could possibly get one of these cards. And that is something that has continued. Even when I was playing, I was buying booster boxes. Like, these boxes would come with like 32 packs or some shit, right? Of booster packs. And I would just open them up. Each one of them had a chance of having an ultra rare card in it. If you just have, if you just print them willy nilly, then obviously the individual cost of the ultra rare cards goes down because there's more of them. And that prevents people from buying full boxes of those things when they can just go out and buy the individual cards themselves. So,
but I mean, they're also allegedly stating that this misstep, along with other missteps, for example, around the D&D debacle a couple years ago, with D&D 1. Essentially, has led to Hasbro suffering substantial harm as a result of the failings, and causing the company to have to repurchase its own shares at artificially inflated prices, basically costing the company around $55 million, versus additional revenue from selling its shares elsewhere. It's a lot of corporate things, but at this point, it routinely comes down to the fact that they're basically, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, and this is the crutch that they're using to basically sue Chris Cox for failing to properly manage the company's finances,
right?
Essentially.
And honestly, I almost feel like it was justified, not understanding how that stuff works. But I don't like the artificial scarcity either, but it is what it is.
I just think that we're just, I take it from it's overly litigious, just like, make it known. There's other ways to do things. I think it's just, suing, sue happy. I've never been super, cool with the whole sue happy thing, but still, honestly, there's a reason why I got out of Magic the Gathering, and everything that has to do with, with those collectible games. It can get pretty bad.
Moving on, we've also got a story about why Dispatch is heavily censored on Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch 2.
Well, because Nintendo, I mean, I was kind of, I couldn't believe that it would have gotten onto the Switch, to be honest. It just doesn't seem like a Switch game.
Well, many fans have responded negatively towards the censorship happening on the Nintendo versions of the titles, even though it remains rated mature on the platform, and basically in order to meet Nintendo's guidelines, Ad Hoc had to, pretty exclusively permanently leave the visual censorship toggle that you see in the menu on Dispatch permanently on. There's no way to shut it off. And what this does is it covers certain nudity or near nudity with black bars, a la old censored anime style. And in some cases, completely mutes dialogue in the game.
This is why you should get a Steam Deck instead of a Switch.
Right? Law fans are taking issue with it, but realistically, this isn't on Ad Hoc, guys. This is on Nintendo trying to maintain a squeaky clean version of them being a family-only platform.
Which, there's plenty of hypocrisy there because there are other games that are not quite censored like this.
Oh, dude, the amount of nearly pornographic itchy games that are available on Nintendo's store
is crazy. I heard about this, and one of the things was Conker's Bad Fur Day exists. They can't undo that kind of history. They just don't want to do it again. And honestly, with the target audience for Nintendo actually kind of growing in demographic, like the average age of the people who are using the Switch is not kids.
Yeah.
They're growing more and more away from their target demographic.
Well, we were all Nintendo babies, right? And we're all now in our 40s. Just saying.
Yep. And that's the thing. Like, your target demographic is no longer kids. It's, it's...
We've all been adults since the 2000s, bros. Like, it's 2025. Grow the hell up.
Now, there is market for kids' games, but you've got to understand that, the vast majority of gamers is, in their 40s. So,
I'm going to find that out.
What, the majority of gamers? Like, it's going to be skewed, obviously. There's the Fortniters and the mobile gamers and stuff like that. There's going to be some skewing, right? But for the most part, your demographics...
Look at this. So I did use AI for this, so...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. So the average non-mobile U.S. video gamer is approximately 32 to 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. I mean...
Well, for it, just as an example now, I'll pop this up in the video for our viewers, but this is basically what the difference, for example, in the art pack they had to do for the Switch.
There's one last thing. We're talking about this. So there is a report that showed the average gamer is 41.
I can see that.
That is basically Jason. Basically Jason.
It basically is me. Yeah. But as you can see, I mean, they just made it so, butts were covered and there was no side boob, which is you know, realistically very Nintendo. I wouldn't expect anything less, but that doesn't mean Nintendo doesn't need to shift their ways of thinking. That said, I seriously doubt they ever will. And then just last news story. This is a happy news story that that we won't spend much time on, but it the Stop Killing Games petition happening over in the EU. They announced their final counts of verified signatures for the initiative. They ended up at nearly 1.3 million verified signatures, which means that this issue will end up being reviewed in Parliament at some point, in the EU's Parliament at some point. So, all in all, a very good thing to see. And for those of you who may or may not know, it's easy enough to Google and look, but what it is they're seeking for games that essentially live online, that if a publisher or developer is going to stop offering online services for a game, that they essentially release publicly the code, etc., needed in order to host the for the community to host the games privately or themselves.
So like in the case of, like, for instance, Anthem, which is, you know, just went offline permanently, you know, not long ago. The, you know, the code for keeping, you know, at least being able to load up a local shard so that you can continue playing that game, would be released.
Correct. Or if you're going to, it also focuses, for non-online games that, even if a publisher chooses to not sell a game specifically, that then they make the game freeware, which I think is the part of it that's probably never going to get past, you know, any kind of commission legally. But I think there's certainly hope for for the online parts of it. You know, you can't make a game unplayable. I hate seeing that happen, and I think it's only the right thing for companies to give the community who still plays those games. You know, often cases, a lot of these games where the servers are nuked, you know, still have over 100,000 gamers on them in a lot of cases. I definitely think the community should be given the tools to keep those online. That's it, guys. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think about any one of these news stories. Find us at tiltcast.com for both the audio versions of these new shorts as well as our full-length podcast, The Tiltcast. Search for us on iTunes and Spotify as well. Subscribe there and come back on Tuesday for more news.
All right, y'all. See you guys.